San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power on this Super Bowl Saturday. We're going to dispense with the normal elongated intro and get right over to introduce my co-host, who's a CPA extraordinaire, an accomplished marathon runner, best-selling author, philanthropist, and a family office expert advising several high-net-worth families. Richard, how are you tonight?
I'm great, but let's not waste any time talking about us.
Yes, of course, we've been talking about Dick Enberg and his play McGuire, and we had a conversation with him earlier, and it went something like this. All right, we're talking to the great Dick Enberg, and it's all about the play McGuire, which he wrote. So I just would like to know, Dick, what inspired you to write this play, and when did you first encounter Al McGuire?
Well, I'll go back to the first time I met Al McGuire. I didn't like him. He was rude and abrasive, and he would hide in the corner, and you couldn't find him, and you're trying to prepare to do a telecast with Marquette University, and McGuire wouldn't be at practice, and then he wouldn't come out on game day until the players had been introduced. By that time, you're on the air, and you never get a chance to even meet the guy. So I wasn't real fond of Al McGuire initially, but that's okay. Sometimes a person that you think is unattractive can change their colors, and he had a lot of peacock in him, I'll tell you that.
Unbelievable.
But then as time would go on, after 3 or 4 years, I finally, in the 1977 NCAA championships, his Marquette team made it to the semifinals, and I was going to do the game against North Carolina Charlotte, and I was able to capture him at practice on Friday, and said, "Hey, coach, I mean, all these years, you've never even said hello to me. Can you please give me 10 minutes? And there was a little patch of grass outside the Omni in Atlanta where the finals were held that year. Uh-huh. He said, "Come on." And we went out the door. Al loved to lie on his back and look up and get a little sunshine. And he had a priest with him. And he started to talk. And an hour later, I said, "I wish I had all of this on tape. This guy is just magnetic. I mean, he's the most incredible character that I've ever met, no one in second place."
Really?
And, of course, that then led to our relationship after he won the championship. It was a miracle win for him. He beat Carolina in the finals. Mm-hmm. He joined us the following year, us being Billy Packer and Dick Enberg and Al McGuire formed a three-man team. And when Packer went to CBS 4 or 5 years later, he stayed at NBC and worked with me. And every day, every time I was with him, he would teach me something about life. He was a New York street genius. And so when he died, and gosh, I'm just thinking this is Super Bowl week. He died during Super Bowl week 2002, so it's been 13 years now.
Huh.
And the family asked me to write the notes for the memorial program in Milwaukee, and that's a daunting task, and I tried and I tried and I kept throwing my efforts away, and finally I said, "No, I'll let him write it himself. All the little McGuireisms, the little pieces, the nuggets of information as he saw life from a different angle than the rest of us, I put those down," and that seemed to work. And afterwards I said, "You know, there was so much he gave me. I'm going to just, so that if I write a book someday, which I did, I can put it in my book." And the more I did that, the more I realized I might have a play here. So that's a long explanation of what's about to happen at the North Coast Rep on February 9th and 10th.
Yeah. Now, he grew up in the streets of Brooklyn, you say? Did he have any formal education himself? Or
Actually grew up in Rockaway, and just as you get onto Long Island. Mm-hmm. His dad and mother owned an Irish bar. He used to always say that, "You guys think that you're smart when you get your diploma." He called it the piece of paper. He said, "But if you really want the preparation for life, go 10 bar for 6 months and then go drive a cab for 6 months, and now you've got your master's and doctorate in life."
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah. Dick, most people don't know he went to St. John's, followed his brother, who wound up being a Basketball Hall of Famer.
That's right, and both Al and Dick are in the Hall of Fame, but But Al always used to laugh at that because Dick was the real player. In fact, there's a line in the play where he refers to his brother Dick. He was so smooth he could play basketball in a tuxedo. In fact, he was the first one, Dick McGuire, to dribble between his legs, pass around his back. Bob Cousy would work out in the same summer right near their bar on Rockaway Beach. There was a basketball court, and they'd play a lot of three-on-three, and many of the great players in the New York area would come there and test their skills against the best in New York.
So all these lines in the play and all the content, did you actually like make notes throughout the time you knew Al, or did it just come pouring out after he passed away? Or,
well, I didn't take notes during the time, but the kinds of things that he would teach me, I just didn't see. I grew up on a farm. I trust everyone. People in the Midwest are, your neighbors are your pals and friends. And Al in the streets of New York was more wary. You had to prove yourself to him.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he used to say Dixie. He called me Dick, D-I-C-K-S-I-E, Dixie. Hey, that's what he called his brother too. Dixie, you're going to have somebody with their hand on your wallet. You got to be more careful. They're not all nice out there. And I said, Al, you're going to have your hand.
Well, I told you the story. My brother, when he was in college, waited on him at breakfast. I guess that had to be, I don't know, in the 90s or 80s. But anyway, my brother was a server in the University of Chicago, Illinois campus restaurant there. In comes Al McGuire. He sees this championship ring and strikes up a little conversation. Anyway, he tipped him $10 on a very small breakfast menu item, and you were...
Whoa, wait a minute. Repeat that. He tipped $10 on a breakfast menu?
Yeah.
No way. No. He had the shortest arms and the longest pockets in the league.
Well, my brother must have impressed him, or he must have been surprised that he was such a fan.
Al must have wanted something. Yeah. Did your brother collect toy soldiers?
No, it's not as far as I know. But,
so, Dick, there's a funny story about Al McGuire when he was a backup for the New York Knicks, and he was pressuring the coach to put him in because nobody could stop Cousy. So the coach finally put him in to try to stop Cousy, and he fouled him 6 times in a row.
I put that in the play. He made a Al said, and I'm speaking in the first person as if I'm the actor Cotter Smith, who has really captured the total essence of who Al McGuire was. He's brilliant. That Al says, I made a dumb mistake one time. I'm trying to use a little of the New York accent. Uh-huh. He says, I told the writers that I can hold Cousy to 10 points. Yeah, and that was big headlines. I'm going to bet him. I'll put a dish on the court, and he'll be eaten out of that dish. I'm going to hold him. I'm going to hold Cousy to 10 points. And he said, and I did. He had exactly 10 points when I fouled out in 4 minutes.
That's right.
Now, Cotter Smith, how did you find this guy, this actor, to play the part?
Well, Cotter, I know. He and his wife, much like the North Coast rep here in Solana Beach, they had a small theater in Milwaukee. Mm. He was, at the time I met him, he was doing some Hollywood work. But the head of the drama department at Marquette University knew of the kinds of work they were doing at their theater. And she, knowing that it's a long story. I'd sent the script to the Marquette president. He liked it. He sent it to her, said, wow, we should do it. Then I talked to her, and she said, well, Cotter Smith, he looks like Al. He's tall, lean, dark hair. Why don't you meet him? So he and his wife, Heidi, who's the director, flew out to La Jolla, and we had them for dinner, and they stayed overnight. And after about a half hour, I said, he's it. I mean, he's the perfect guy. So it's just fate treating. Well, that's the way Al McGuire's life was. Everyone seemed to gather and follow, and things fell into place. And it's the thrill for me is that Al McGuire, a guy that I didn't like at first, that I learned to love, really comes to life once again.
Mm-hmm. The story, the 1977 championship team, I mean, it's a miraculous story. He went to Chicago and recruited some ragtag players, right, and made champions out of them. Does that come out in the play too, or?
Well, yes, I do a whole segment on his recruiting technique. It's a little long to explain right now. But he would pick out a star. He would go recruit him hard, whether it was in Chicago or New York. A lot of kids came from New York.
Uh-huh.
And he always treated the stars differently. He said, you got to be a hypocrite as a coach. You know, the stars are the ones that win you a game. Treat them differently. What's this all about treating the whole team the same way? You know, there are different rules for the stars. They help you to win. Those other guys get you fired.
but Dick, most people thought the team the season before, 75-76, was a better team. They ended up losing in the third round of the tournament to Indiana, who, of course, went through the season undefeated. So I think it was a real surprise when they bounced back to win it all.
And the 74 team lost to North Carolina State, and that was the game where Al got a couple of technicals in the first half and admits that he blew the game, and that's in the play as well.
Yeah, and then their 71 team only lost one game in the tournament to Ohio State by 1 point. They were number one in the nation for a good part of the 70-71 season.
And that's the beauty of, well, I guess sports, that he did have much, much better teams. But that 77 team, he had already announced in December that it was his last year. So he was a lame duck coach. And there were only 32 teams into the tournament that year. And Marquette was the 32nd team. And I'm convinced, no evidence, but I'm convinced that the NCAA committee threw him a bone. He said he's leaving anyway. McGuire, let's let him in. What harm can be done? And he goes on and all the way to the finals and wins the championship.
Kind of like a wild card, right?
what a great story.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
I want to, because I know you've got a lot of ladies who listen to your show, and one of the results so far that has been so pleasing to me is that after the show we do a talk back, and we'll do that as well on the two nights that it's going to be performed here. And we bring out other McGuire stories, other stories that I couldn't fit into the play. And then afterwards, you know, the audience, some of them will stay in and just want to chat more about it. And often it's the women who say, wow, I didn't even know who Al McGuire was. My husband dragged me here. I thought it could have been some other McGuire. And, you know, I thought it was Mark McGuire.
Yeah.
And she said, I would really like to know more about him. So he was that kind of character. He had, I found out after he died that he had ADD. He used to say, I read and write at a seventh grade level, and we used to laugh. That, come on, coach, you're a genius. What are you talking about? But it was true. He really did have education at a seventh grade level. He had to steal and copy and cheat and do all the things when you have that kind of severe disorder to get through the barbed wire of life. And that's what made him such a special character.
Huh. And you don't have to love basketball to love this play, right, Dick?
No. It's basketball-based, obviously, but it's really about the wit and the wisdom of Al McGuire as this incredible character, and his insights into everything from how do you recruit kids, how do you treat people, how do you maneuver life to your advantage, how do you treat someone who's dying, on and on and on. I mean, he just saw life at a different angle, and there's some wonderful lessons in life within this play, and it's not long. It's about an hour and 10 minutes, and then we do the talk back right after the show.
Have any of his players seen the show?
Oh yes, we've done it in Milwaukee and at Marquette a couple of times, and several of his players have come, and they are convinced too. He said that Cotter Smith, he was coach. Huh. He became coach,
he's
and that's
channeling.
Not an easy thing to do for an actor to get an audience to turn, because many of them are sitting there, okay, he can't be Al McGuire. Let's just see him. About 10 minutes in, you can just feel that he's got him, you know?
Outstanding. Hey, Richard had some...
Just two quick questions.
About the Padres, right?
Well, two quick questions. One, we've got Art Barter, the founder of Servant Leadership Institute, following you on this show, so he wanted to make sure he said hi. You were kind enough last year at their national conference to appear with Bill Walton as the keynote panel. So anyway, a big hi from Servant Leadership Institute and Art Barter.
Right, yeah. That was a great group.
Great group. And then last thing, real quickly, I love the changes the Padres are making, but let me ask you a question, since I'm sure you've been following it too. Who the heck is going to be the Padres' leadoff hitter this season?
That is a common question. They really don't have one right now. The Norris catcher that they got from the Oakland A's has a terrific on-base percentage, and he's also more of a power hitter, and he could lead off. That would be quite rare, wouldn't it, to have your catcher as the leadoff man?
Yeah.
Amarista just strikes out too much. He would be the logical.
Well, but he's 28% on base, so that's
I coached a long time ago, but it would only be a suggestion. Bud Black knows 100 times more about this beautiful game than I do. But if Amarista hits a home run in batting practice, you know, I would bench him that night. Because the little guy, you know, the little ninja, he hits a home run, then he thinks he's got to try to hit a home run every time he's up there. If he would just shorten his stroke, try to hit the ball to left field, use his legs, beat out hits, get some walks, he would be the ideal leadoff man. But his evidence so far has been that he strikes out much too many times.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you could get home in spring training there, Dick, when you get out there.
It's going to be a great season, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't that an interesting question that we're worried about the leadoff man? I mean, we've been worried about who's going to hit third, fourth, fifth, and sixth.
No, now last year it was one through eight, you know.
I've already got a nickname. They're all right-handed hitters, all with power in the Western Metal Supply Building.
Yeah.
I'm going to say stay tuned. They may be down by two going to the ninth, but the Brick Busters are coming up.
Heard we're putting a large new TV screen at Petco. I just saw that in the news. Where they're going to have the third largest, their best in the whole league. So
that's right.
That's cool.
More than double the size of the old one. So it's going to be totally modernized. I mean, everything is, with this ownership, is moving forward and positive, and there's a great buzz in the city, and there's reason to be excited. We kept our pitching staff. The bullpen was the best in baseball. We've kept our top three starters. I think we've even built a better bullpen, and they're not through trading yet. And it's a tough division. You got to beat the Giants, the World Series champs, and the Dodgers. But I think we're going to be solid contenders. We're going to be in the conversation all year.
Good, 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 good. Well, Dick, thanks so much. We're looking forward to February 9 and 10, two wins right there to start the season. And we'll be looking forward to seeing you, okay?
All right. Thank you, man.
Thank you. See you then. Bye-bye.